Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. And welcome Mike Rolston, CEO of Blencar Resources. How's life treating you, Mike? It's been a little bit since we've last talked. How's things going?
Yeah, no, everything's going very well. The project's going great. It's nice to be able to travel again. So all in all, starting to see some good progress.
You were in Uganda there, we saw, yeah?
Yeah, we had a very good trip to Uganda. There's incredibly good support coming from the government, which is great. We're starting to kick some big goals there, and we're kind of lining it all up, getting everyone ready and sort of anticipating production from Oram Cross next year. So they all just need to understand what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and when, so that we don't have any surprises along the way. So I think, you know, like all of these things, yeah, we just need to explain what's going on and keep everyone informed.
Since we last had a chat, there was the news that came out sort of last week now that you continue to deliver exceptional results from the MET test work for the Oram Cross project. Do you want to talk us through how significant these results are?
Yeah, I think it's quite hard to do that without getting too technical. So just hop in and tell me if I'm starting to lose the room. But when you are talking about upgrading graphite to a concentrate, it starts to become very particular as to what type of end product qualities you have, which either other people don't have, or specific good and bad that you have, which obviously you want or don't want. So for us, what are the key aspects? Certainly the fact that over 50% of our end product is going to be in the 100 mesh fractions, that's good because it's going to mean that we get a weighted average selling price that reflects the higher number or higher percentage of coarse graphite, and those sell for greater selling prices. So
Mike, tell us there, without being too technical, why, because it's bigger pieces, does it get a better price? What's the reason?
Well, there's two reasons. One is because they're more rare and they're harder to find. China, as the biggest user and the biggest producer of graphite, has a huge amount of small fines and the smaller fractions in terms of mesh size. So they don't have as much when it comes to the coarse flakes. So definitely in terms of supply. But at the same time, it's also the demand. They go into a different end user, specifically those expandables that are using it for graphite foils, for the flame retardants, and for the thermal management within the steel and the refractory. So there's a demand aspect to it. There's a supply aspect to it. But at the end of the day, as I think we've pointed out before, they sell for considerably higher amount. Jumbo flakes are selling for over $2,500 a ton, and you get the sort of small minus 100 and minus 200 mesh fractions going for maybe $500-$600 a ton. So a huge difference between the two.
Would you say that these results just increase your market for potential offtakes in terms of the wider audience?
Well, that particular point I raised definitely does. And we always knew that we had different mesh sizes, so that's not changed too much, but it's a big advantage, obviously, to see it. I think some of the other aspects are that we have a very low sulfur content. Having high sulfur in anything tends to be a bit of a put-off. Whether it be coal or iron or anything, but we have less than 1% of sulfur, which is one of the lowest sulfur contents in any graphite project worldwide. What else? We have pH values that are neutral or mildly alkaline, which is excellent because that means they're suitable for expandables to meet the fire retardant specifications. As I said before, we have very low impurities, which is ideal for the battery applications. And also with those low impurities, there's a lower cost to purify to a 99.9% LOI, which is what you require to go into the anode. So I think there's, and actually I forgot to mention, we have tap density that is suitable for advanced micronization, which means that this particular product will be very good for SPG processing for battery products. So, yeah, getting a little technical, but I think you can hear from all of that that there are particular parts and particular reasons why this concentrate that we've got at Orem Cross is likely to be very well received in the market in terms of the parties that we're going to be selling it into.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite obvious then from what you're saying that this is going to be heavily in demand, and really hopefully the off-takers shouldn't really be a problem. You're going to have many people wanting this standard and level of resource.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we need, because it's a discerning market. The power sits at this stage with a lot of the buyers of the product, and they can tend to be quite forceful in their negotiations for price. So when we talk about the quality of the product, when we're talking about the size of the mesh fractions, all of these things add value to us and allow us to differentiate our product and have a better quality of product to sell, which gives us a higher chance of selling it and also gives us a better chance to get the best possible price. So all of this is very, very good. And in fact, in terms of graphite, it's absolutely essential, because if we didn't have these things, we may not have a project. So it's that critical. And it's a part of the graphite space, I suppose, that a lot of retail investors don't really understand, and they don't really go looking at very carefully. But it's probably the most important part of the entire project. So to come out with a very, very strong set of results is just very well. It's exceptional. We're over the moon.
Moving on to the Kalikongo Nickel project, there was also an announcement that the airborne EM program had commenced. Do you want to just talk us through how significant that is?
Well, it's actually just completed. It did commence and it's now finished. What we're doing is that we're running airborne electromagnetic lines over three tenements, and they are the ones that we believe to be the most prospective for nickel in terms of the Aki Lekongo nickel project that we added in a couple of months ago. So what that does is it identifies electromagnetic targets under the ground. And by doing that, it gives us the potential for new drill targets going forward, which is obviously very important.
And from what you've seen so far, is it encouraging that you've identified some zones?
Look, it's a bit early to say. They've just completed the work. They've done everything we asked them to do in terms of their job. They will go away and they will get a whole lot of geophysics experts to have a look at the data and identify where there are targets. And obviously, we'll announce that to the market going forward. To say that we've got good or bad results at the stage when they only completed, I think, 2 days ago, it's a little bit early.
Sure.
But what is good is that we've obviously completed that work. We're expecting that there will be good results, because those were the most prospective of all the tenements that we identified. And if they do present with good drill targets, we'll obviously go and drill them. And that gives us the best chance of adding some more nickel into the portfolio.
In terms of shareholders looking forward, you know, to sort of the future roadmap, I guess it can't be too far away for the pre-feasibility study to be released. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, that's right. So our due date was the end of June, which is approximately 3 weeks away, I think, just over 3 weeks away from now. We're working hard. I know I've been on with the team doing that for most of the day. So they're all working very hard. We've got a lot of work to do over the next couple of weeks to bring it all together. There's an enormous amount of data that's coming into one sort of big fat spreadsheet that will tell us what it's going to look like. But I'm quietly confident that we're going to get a very good result out of it. And I'm hoping that we're going to meet that deadline. It's obviously important for us to try and get something into the UK market before everybody breaks for the summer holidays. So it would be very, very useful to get that announced to the market within the next, you know, 30 to 45 days. Yeah, I think the pre-feasibility study is obviously the line in the sand where people can see the overall project. And for the first time, I mean, we did do a preliminary economic assessment last year, but it was very preliminary and we never got any third-party sign-off. So this is the first time that we're really getting a more substantial overview of the entire project. And hopefully that will give everyone a very clear understanding of what the project looks like from one end to the other.
Yeah, Mike, I'm still flabbergasted. How on earth is the stock worth £6.4 million?
Yeah, look, that's the one that sort of keeps me up at night as well. I'm not
I have to say it doesn't keep me up at night, but I understand it keeps you up at night.
it's something we're working on. We believe that there's a lot of day traders that have obviously playing with the stock and buying and selling for small gains. And we're quite liquid, so we get a lot of that happening. I don't mind liquidity, but at the end of the day, we would like to transfer a lot of those shares across into stickier hands, which probably means a different type of investor, a more institutional type of investor, high net worth, that really understand the longer term value of what we've got. So we will definitely be migrating ourselves across to that type of investor going forward. And my hope is that, you know, as the market starts to see that there's less traded stock in terms of the retail space, we might get the stock re-rating to where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, you have a situation where you have a big shareholder already. Yeah, Rab Capital have got about 10%. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
You know, ultimately, these guys obviously believe in what you're doing, and they've bought in at 5p, if I remember rightly, and now it's 4p. And has been lower. So they obviously have done their due diligence on you guys and understand that this project basically can be phenomenal in terms of the amount of cash flow that can be provided in terms of this. Or alternatively, and you know, we have to say it in this mining sector, that there's a potential for someone just to come in and say, well, we need this graphite, so we'll just buy you.
Yeah, I think we have enough shares locked away that we've got defense against the unwanted predator. I don't think we're going to fall foul of that. But look, our job is to continue to develop the assets and continue to show value. Obviously, the PFS coming through next month will be a huge line in the sand in that regard. And then we've got to keep migrating the shareholder base to a longer-term supporting type of investor that wants to hold our shares for longer than 3 or 4 days and will watch us go through the next 6 to 12 months towards first production. And I think that's happening already. I've had a number of calls recently. We've definitely got some interest, and I think we're going to start seeing that migration occur. So I'm not worried about it, but it's obviously a concern to us, and we're addressing it, and hopefully watch the space and we'll see some movement in the right direction.
And when you say PFS next month, you mean this month?
Well, it's due, completed by the 30th of June, so I can only announce next month, sometime in early July is the plan.
Okay, so you're expecting it in the first couple of weeks of July that it will come out?
Yeah, I can't announce it to the market too late in July because everybody over there in the UK goes on holiday. So it's about trying to get it out there in early July so that we can get it into the market before the summer holidays. And then we will go away and do a study on what I call the stage one pilot plant so that we can understand exactly what it's going to take to bring that into production in the next 12 months. And that's going to be our first phase of production at Oran Cross. So literally this time next year, I'm hoping we'll be producing some graphite from the project. We'll keep going. There's a lot happening at the moment, so we're sort of grinding away hard. But it's important that we get this PFS out to the market before the UK stops for its summer break. That's hugely important to us.
Sure. So we'll wish you all the best, and keep us updated, keep the market updated.
Will do.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.